Well, I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. I did. I saw a boat store and I went inside. And I was looking at the boats. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And I just fell in love with one of these things. I saw it, it touched my soul. Do you know what it was? It was this. Oh, man. I never in my life have wanted a pontoon before. I went into the boat store to look at a surf boat because they're cool, but this is a 350 horsepower Harris Grand Mariner. It's got like a ski tow pylon, a fold down swim platform. It can seat like 16 people. And guys, guess what? The best part is it's only $180,000. What a bargain, man. So I'm looking at it, and I'm, like, asking questions. You know, I'm like, so, like, you know, well, how many horsepower in the motor? And what kind of prop is on the back of this? And I'm talking to the sales guy, and he looks at me. He's like, so, when would you be looking to buy, this fall or wait until the spring? Even if I wanted to buy it, the banker would laugh at me. Have you ever wanted something that was, like, a little bit out of your reach? Right, yeah? Maybe for you it was a guy you wanted or a girl. Or a job that you wish you had, but you just couldn't get it. Or maybe for you, you're just like, all I want is a little peace, some financial security, or a family. Like, there's these things that are out of reach for us. Now, I want us all on the same page here. So when there's something out of reach that you really want, but you can't have it, that can be painful. If you agree with me on that, would you just give me a yeah? Right? That can be painful, right? According to UNICEF, there are 153 million orphans worldwide who want a family, but a family for them is more out of reach than that boat is for me. Today is called Pure Religion Sunday. It's the day that churches around the world talk about adoption and foster care. We've been going through this series in the book of Mark, but we're going to pause on that because we're going to talk about foster care. We're going to talk about adoption today. So I want you to know who I'm talking to here today. Today I'm talking directly to married couples and single people and older people, also younger people, and any of you ugly people, okay, you as well, all right? Did I miss anybody or have I hit everybody yet, right? I'm talking to everybody today. Now, if you don't know, my wife and I have adopted many, many times. We've adopted 6 kids. And we've done foster care for years, and we've actually had like over 60 kids in our home, just in and out. And I'm not going to lie to you. Today I'm not going to be like, oh, if you do foster care, it's so beautiful, and a child will come in, and everything's going to be easy and fluffy. Oh. Like, no, this is not a commercial that's just going to make you cry and sign up for something. I'm going to be honest with you. It is difficult. It can be painful. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. My wife was putting some of our kids to bed. At this point in our life, the 3 girls we had shared one bedroom, and my wife's just like frustrated because bedtime's not going well, and parents, you've been there before, right? Like, bedtime's not going well, and she says, you've got to stop being so demanding of me. I am tired, and you're supposed to be asleep. And Aaliyah, who is 10 at the time, said, well, it's your own fault for doing foster care and having so many kids. And then Macy, who was 5, goes, yeah, you should have adopted better children. And just to be clear, Macy was adopted, okay? Like, she's calling herself out there. But here's the thing that I want you to remember today. Even though it's difficult, life happens at the intersection of uncomfortable and inconvenient. That's the main idea today. We're talking about life, like real life, like not just sitting on your phone scrolling, but like actual life happens at the intersection of uncomfortable and inconvenient. Like, you wanted to ask that girl on a date, but you were too scared to ask her on a date, so you never got the date. No life. But when you overcame the uncomfortable and you overcame the awkward and the inconvenience of getting off your butt, maybe you got the girl. I'm going to shout, life happens at the intersection of, and I'd love everybody in these 2 sections to say, uncomfortable. Then everybody in these 2 sections, you're going to shout, and inconvenient. Okay, ready for this? Life happens at the intersection of, uncomfortable. That's right. Those who get to the top of Mount Everest, is it an easy journey? No, they do something amazing, and it causes a lot of discomfort, very painful, very difficult. It is not always convenient to stop and help someone on the side of the road. But that's the sort of thing life is made of. When we're talking about adoption and orphans, there is a whole lot of uncomfortable and inconvenient. And I said, there's 153 million orphans worldwide. I don't even want you to think about the 153 million orphans right now. That number is just, forget about it. Today in Salina, Kansas, I want you to see that number on that poster right now in our sanctuary. There are 58 kids who need to be adopted today in our town. And you can write that down. In Salina, Kansas, there are only 58 kids who need to be adopted right now. Friends, there's going to be over 600 people at our church today. That's like 150 different families, maybe. Just think about that math. That number could be zero because of us, right? Because of you, right here. I want you to see some of the children who are up for adoption in the state of Kansas. So all these children who I'm going to introduce you to today are in the state of Kansas, right here. You can find them on adoptkskids.org. The website's right there. You can scan that QR code if you want to. And by the way, thank you to adoptkskids.org. They sent us these pictures. They picked the kids, sent us this so we could print them out in really nice quality. And this first guy, his name is Zachary. Zachary is 14 years old. He loves video games. I know some of you out there are gamers. This could be your gaming buddy right here. Zachary loves bold food choices, and he loves to laugh. So maybe Zachary is someone you can think about. This girl is Passion, and she is 12 years old. Passion loves to be goofy. She loves to pull pranks. So if you got a family that likes to mess around with each other, maybe you should be thinking about her. She likes being around girls her age, and she actually wants to be a police officer when she grows up. These are real people. This is Piper. Piper is 8 years old. For you outdoor people, she loves to camp, boat, play softball, soccer, volleyball. She loves to help in the kitchen and cook. Now, the thing about Piper, she's got three siblings that she wants to be adopted with. So you'd be taking on a little tiny army here. You could take over your neighbor's house, wage war, okay? Look, even if nobody else in our church did anything, our church could fix that problem, couldn't we? We could fix that problem in our town today. And when we hear these stories, it melts our hearts sometimes. You hear these, you see these pictures, and it melts our hearts. It reminds me of something we were talking about in the Mark series just a couple weeks ago. This is Mark 10. People were bringing their little children to Jesus, to him, for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." God loves children and he doesn't want anyone to hinder them. And lots of these kids, they would come to Christ. They would come to know God if someone would just bring them in and introduce them, but they don't have a family to do that right now. Grab your Bibles if you would. You got a Bible under that chair in front of you? Open up to Psalm chapter 68. If you've never used a Bible before, super easy. Once you open up to that page number, you'll find the bold heading. The bold or the large numbers in the Bible are chapters, and the smaller ones are verses. We're going to read Psalm 68. I don't know how much of it we'll read. We'll see. And this is written by a guy named King David. He says, "May God arise. May his enemies be scattered." So he's talking about God defeating God's enemies. "May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God." So King David's like, "God, I want you to destroy wicked people." Right? This is God coming against evil. Then he goes on, "But may the righteous be glad." Righteous are people who do what God wants. "May the righteous people, God, make the righteous people glad. And may they be happy and joyful. Sing to God." Now he's talking to us. "Sing to God. Sing praise of his name. Extol him who rides in the clouds." The clouds are a sign of judgment. And so he's saying, extol him, praise God in the clouds. That means, like, I realize God's going to judge bad people. So I'm going to thank God that he's going to judge bad people. Right? "Extol him in the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless." So not only does he destroy evil, not only does he make good people happy, he is also a father to fatherless people. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. That's a thing God does. He leads out the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land, like just a dry desert, a terrible place to live. Just it's hot all the time. It's like Oklahoma, okay? When you, God, went out before your people, you marched through the wilderness. That's a scary place. The earth shook. The heavens poured down rain. This is like heaven. Rain is a good thing here. Before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, you gave abundant showers. Like, thank you for giving us crops. Thank you for giving us water. God, you refreshed your weary inheritance. And your people settled in it. And from your bounty, God, from God's over, like he's got lots of treasures. From your bounty, God, you provide for the poor. Let's stop there for right now. So this is talking about God caring about righteous people. God's powerful. He goes through all these things God does. But in this list of things that God does powerfully, he has this one little line in there. Let's look at it specifically. Sing to God, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides in the clouds, right? God's going to judge. God's a judge. We're praising him. He's worth singing to. A father to the fatherless. This is one of the things that God is. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely, if you're lonely, God sets you in a family if you're willing. Now, these are the character traits of God. This is one of the reasons we praise God. But how on earth does God set the lonely in families? How is God a father to the fatherless? How does this work? Well, I want to show you what Psalm 68 was referencing. This was referencing another part of the Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24. You're going to find that in your Bible on page 159. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And in here, you have lots of laws. So the nation of Israel was following God. God gave them all these regulations. You probably heard of some of the regulations, like don't wear shirts that have two different fabrics in them, and you know, don't cut your hair a certain way. Like lots of laws that don't apply to us exactly now. But there are some principles in these laws. I want you to see one of the laws the nation of Israel had to follow 3,000 years ago. So you find chapter 24, you come all the way down to that little tiny 17. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. We're going to come back to these. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I commanded you to do this. When you're harvesting your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get a sheaf. Like a, if imagine you're in a combine and you're picking up all the crops in your field and you miss a whole line. God says, don't go back and get that one. Just let it stay there, okay? Don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. This is why I commanded you to do this. So the idea here is that God is so concerned with the lonely, the poor, the orphans, that he gave a law. Every single person in Israel had to help them by law. Let's write this down. The laws in Israel made it clear that everyone was supposed to do something to help the orphan, the poor, the oppressed, the needy. And how does God help the orphan? Well, he created a nation with laws that instruct people on the importance of it. So in their culture, it was when you pick your crops, leave some of them for the orphans. When you pick your grain, leave some of them for the homeless. In our culture, it's like God wants you to take care of foster kids who have been taken out of their home. There's 58 kids who don't have a family that they get to go home to for Christmas this year. And he wants you and me to do it. That is the how God sets the lonely in families, right? The Bible says God sets the lonely in families. How? Because you are supposed to do that, just like they were supposed to do that. And this isn't convenient for people to do. But life happens at the intersection of uncomfortable and inconvenient. It's scary to adopt. You do not know what your life will be like when you invite a stranger into your home. You don't know this kid. You don't know what they're going to be. You're going to invite them into your home. You don't know if they're going to be weird, if they're going to be cool and you're weird and they're going to make fun of you. You don't know if they're going to like be a fire starter. You don't know what it's like to bring a stranger. Are they going to mess your family up? You don't know what's going to happen someday when their biological family member comes knocking on your door and you go, who are you? And they're like, I'm the kid's uncle. Like scary situations. You don't know. Like meeting strangers and putting yourself at risk. It can be dangerous. So I was thinking about this idea of meeting strangers a few years ago, and we made a video. We actually made this video 7 years ago. But as I was getting this ready today, I was like, oh man, we got to show that video again. So check this out.
I promise I'm not a murderer or anything. I'm just the pastor at a church.
I think I'm going to have to pass, honestly.
Okay. This is weird. So bringing strangers into your home or into our country, refugees, people in foster care, people need to be adopted, can be scary because they're strangers. You don't know who they are. So what we're going to do, I am going to call random numbers in Salina, Kansas, and we're going to attempt to hang out with someone randomly. So 785, we'll start with 342, because then there's a lot of numbers here that do that. And I've just hit a random number. We're just gonna call and see what we... I'm really nervous, Sam. This is...
You have reached the voicemail box of...
Okay, so that's not a go. How many calls are we gonna have to make before we get somebody? I still don't know what I'm gonna say if they answer. Hi, I'm a pastor. Do you want to have fun with me? This is Jeff Pipo. I am the pastor at Revolution Church. I'm actually calling random people, wondering if you'd be willing to hang out for an hour at like the arcade in the mall.
I don't know that I could do that.
Okay.
To answer you honestly.
That's okay. Have a good day. At least we got a hold of somebody. I'm going to try another one. I got a good feeling.
The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
Don't trust your feelings. I've preached this 1,000 times.
Hello?
Hey, my name is Jeff, and I have a weird random request. I am actually looking for a stranger in Salina to hang out with for 30 minutes. Are you in Salina?
Yeah, but thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow's my only day off. I'm gonna do like all my bill paying and stuff like that.
I'm trying to teach people about welcoming. She hung up on me.
Yep.
I know it's so random, but I don't know. What do you think?
No thanks.
Okay. Would you hang out with a stranger who called you? Get a call back. This is Jeff.
This is Deanna. Someone called from this number.
Oh, hi, Deanna. I'm calling random numbers. Yours was one of them.
I am a very involved member at Covenant.
Oh, cool. I don't know. What do you think? Would you be willing to try it?
Sure.
Yeah?
Why not?
Awesome. Nice to meet you. Would you be available tomorrow, maybe about 9:30 a.m.?
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
What's up? Yes!
Yeah, I had a missed call from this number.
Oh, yeah. Random numbers and seeing if there's any strangers who'd be willing to hang out with me for like half an hour.
I would say yes, man, but I actually have to go do 5 days in jail. I actually have an appointment with my PO at 2:30.
I could give you a ride.
Sure.
All right, man. I'll see you at 1:30.
You have no problem.
Bye. Sweet!
So we're gonna go pick this guy up and see what happens. Gonna go meet Dana, see what she's all about.
Your destination is on the right.
Jackson?
Yes.
Cool. I'm Jeff, man.
Nice to meet you, man.
Pretty good.
This is Dave.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Hey, are you Dana?
Nice to meet you.
Right on. Hey, can I give you a hug? Good to see you. How long you been in Salina?
All my life, off and on.
You working anywhere?
Not currently. I'm trying to find a job. I just got out of jail and everything. So,
how long were you in for?
4 months.
What brought you to Salina?
A divorce. Situation. Mm-hmm. My husband was. I decided to stay so the kids could have their dad close.
Mm. I'm going for underwater welding.
What?
Yeah.
Are you
still? Yeah, it pays good. It's doing stuff with my hands. Like, it's nice.
I have recently semi-retired from Duane Briggs State Farm Insurance.
Oh, really?
I worked at that office for the agent before and for him for 31 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Christian.
Cool.
I named him after one of my buddies that hung himself when I was a kid.
Really?
Me and his mother don't get along anymore.
Really?
And she keeps him from me. It's kind of my punishment.
My my sister, who's a missionary in Africa.
Your sister's a missionary in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
She's having pancreatitis right now. I don't know why.
I've had four friends die in 3 weeks.
In the last 3 weeks?
In the last 3 weeks.
Four of your friends died?
Two of them committed suicide. Yeah. Yep. Two of them died in car wrecks.
Dude.
It's been a tough couple of weeks for me.
Well, they were with Campus Crusade for Christ first.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went to Uganda until they got thrown out of Uganda by Idi Amin.
Really?
Remember the movie The Last King of Scotland?
Huh?
Yeah, that guy.
You know, I thought I was calling random numbers, but I'm starting to think this was not so random.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think like maybe God had me put your number in.
Yeah, I was like, I was actually getting ready to call one of my buddies and have him come pick me up, and I was going to have him take me to the corrections and everything, but I was like, man, I don't want to call this person. He's always out there doing something, and I'm like, I'm not trying to be around that, so.
Yeah. What's your sister's name?
Lynn.
Lynn, okay. Yeah, I'll pray for her.
Thank you.
God, I want to pray for Lynn that you would help the doctors to know exactly what's going on with her, that she would be healed. Lord, they've been your servants there for almost 50 years. We just ask that you would show them a miracle in this situation. Thank you that Dana was willing to meet with us as strangers. I just pray blessings in her life, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I pray for you before we go in? Is that cool? God, I just want to pray for Jackson, that you would help him to be able to do his time well. I even pray that you'd help him be able to view the sun again. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, it was good to meet you. It's good to meet you, man.
That's crazy. Random meeting, and like, that didn't seem random. That didn't seem random at all.
And I'll tell you, when you do foster care, in the first moment, you're like, this seems so random, but then it doesn't seem random after all. When that guy first was like, I know I can't meet you, you're a pastor of church, I'm on my way to jail. I wanted to be like, you don't know what church I'm a pastor at, do you? Look, the reality is this, and I'd like you to write this down, okay? Meeting strangers can be scary, but it can also be a blessing to me and to them, to you and to them. Meeting strangers, people you don't know what it's going to be like, you don't know what happens, you show up, don't know. But life happens at the intersection of uncomfortable and inconvenient. That's where real life sits. That's where fun happens. That's where excitement happens. And adoption and foster care is bringing these strangers into your life. You don't know. Are they violent? Are they starting fires? Will they mess your family up? Will they have trauma? Will DCF want to look around your house? Like, yes, maybe, yes, probably, definitely. You might be thinking, I don't have the time. I don't have the patience. It's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. But that's where life happens. That is exactly what God wants for you. That's what you want to do. It is so important. Look, there's that verse we read. I want to take you back to Deuteronomy, because this is God speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says, we cannot deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice. I want you to understand what these verses really mean. First of all, you can write this down. The heart of God for the orphan and child in foster care is to give them justice and fairness. Okay, they need justice because justice doesn't happen automatically. So one of the ways this can work is we have people in our church who do CASA. That's court-appointed special advocate. And they go to court. And they submit reports to the judge, or they talk to the judge on behalf of the foster kids. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes training. It's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. One of them was just talking to me after first service. They're like, yeah, doing CASA is one of the most frustrating things I've ever done in my life. I drive all the way down to Wichita. I give this report, and then I feel like the judge ignores me half the time, but it's one of the most important things she's ever done. And she's not quitting. You got to work to make sure these kids have justice and someone will stand up and speak for them. Here's another part of that verse. Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice, or don't take the cloak of a widow as a pledge. For the heart of the orphan, God says, go beyond what's fair and have real life compassion. That's what this verse is talking about, is real life compassion. So the Bible is giving a different standard for the fatherless than it gives for everyone else. And what it's talking about here, when it's talking about the cloak, it's talking about collateral. Like in their culture, if they said, hey, can I borrow $100? They would have said, sure, but give me your cloak as collateral. Or you might say to someone, oh, you want to borrow $50? Okay, sure, give me your PS4 as collateral. And when you pay me back, I'll give you the PS4 back. But here it's saying, if someone's a widow or like an orphan, if they need to borrow $50, don't ask for collateral. Do more than what is fair for them. Because there's nothing wrong with asking for collateral, but go beyond what is fair for them. Go beyond what is just. What if they never repay you back? Who cares? Life happens at the intersection of inconvenient and uncomfortable. What a great example to give. What a great way to serve God by helping someone who couldn't pay you back. Deuteronomy 24 goes on. It says this. When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, okay, see those two words, do not? It says it in this verse a couple times. Each time it says do not, I'd like you all to shout it out real loud, okay? Here we go, I'm gonna read it again. When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, come on, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees. Here we go. Do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains to the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. This is just their everyday life, right? They're farming, and while they farm and do crops, they're not supposed to pick them all. They're supposed to leave some. This is just every day as they go about their life, every day just do some things that are a little inconvenient for them, but are helpful to the others. Let's write this down. I should use my everyday normal resources to help. I don't have to be extravagant. I'm not asking anyone here to climb Mount Everest. I'm not asking anyone here to give $1 billion. Just go buy a nice backpack and donate it to a foster kid who needs one. You know, don't give your junky, cruddy secondhand one. But save some money up. Donate to a foster program. Spend some time with a foster kid who needs a mentor. These are important things. Here's another part of that verse. God says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. He's talking to the Israelites. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you, right? God saved them from their slavery. That is why I command you to do this. See, at one point they were slaves and nobody helped them until God sent Moses and did some miracles and saved them. And now they're supposed to remember what it's like to be oppressed and go, I should help other people too. So let me ask y'all here, have you ever felt out of luck? Just say yeah. Have you ever felt desperate? Say yeah. If God has ever helped you when you needed God to help you, just say yeah. If you've been in those situations, then you should be the person who can say, I've been there, I've been in difficult moments, and God has helped me, so I know what it's like. And I need to go help someone else. I know what it's like to be rescued. Now I should go rescue. And by the way, this is what Jesus did for you too. Jesus came to earth, he died for your sins because you weren't part of a spiritual family. Some of you here today still aren't part of the spiritual family. You haven't been baptized. You haven't joined the church. You haven't been brought in. God wants to bring you in, but for some reason you've been resisting the family of God. And God wants to put his arm around you. Come on in. I want to be your father. I want you to be my child. I want you to have brothers and sisters here at the church. You've been outside the family for too long, and God wants you to jump on in because he loves you. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you. If you want to make that decision today, there's red cards in that chair in front of you. And you can write on there your name and your contact info. And then you can say, I want to get baptized. You can put it in one of these red boxes if you're watching online. You can go to revitachurch.com/redcard. You can sign up to get baptized too. You'll have to come in person. We don't do digital baptisms, but This is something that God wants to do. He wants to bring you into his family. Is it uncomfortable and inconvenient? Oh yeah, God's going to change your life, that's for sure. But we can't forget that's where life happens, right? Life happens when you and I follow God, when you and I bring people into our lives. That's why we want to help others, because we've seen God help us too. Now, do you have to adopt a kid? No, you don't have to adopt a kid. That's not what I'm saying. Let's write this down. To help foster kids and orphans, I don't have to do everything, but I should do something. Like, not everybody here is suited to adopt kids. There's some people here who should just be kept far away from. Oh, hey, Brad, what's up? I'm just joking. Brad's actually great. Brad and Jen are foster parents. They do great stuff. But you don't have to do everything. But you need to work on giving a kid justice. Or you donate some money, or you give them some time, or you do adopt. You don't have to be perfect. I am not a perfect dad. I've adopted, I've done foster care. I am not, my kids could tell you, man, sometimes I make downright bad decisions. I get mad quick. You don't have to be perfect. My son Jeremiah, who I adopted when he was really young, he fell one time. He hit his head on the fireplace when he was like 2 years old. So I take him into stat care and I feel like an idiot, right? I'm like, oh gosh, now he has to get stitches. I couldn't protect him. Okay. And then just a little while later, his stitches got healed up and I was cooking with him, and I'm an idiot. So I was frying food and I didn't make him put a shirt on. And so we splattered some hot oil on his chest, and I went back to stat care and took care of his burns. And then after those healed, we went to the Smoky Hill Museum, and he fell down and got a cut on his eye. And yeah, we go back to stat care. The nurse looks at me and she's like, weren't you in here a couple weeks ago? I'm just like, yes, that was me. And she's like, I thought that was you. And I was like, that is not a good thing. Do you think anything has changed now that he's 10 years old? Oh my gosh. Last month, we're in stat care. He had to get stitches on his nose. Why? Because I let him play in the backyard with knives, okay? Don't judge me. You think I would learn something? Last night, we go out to dinner, and we're coming home, and I drive by, what's that place in the mall, Dunham's? Is it Dunham's? And I got two of my boys with me. I'm like, hey, let's go to Dunham's. They're like, yeah, let's go look at guns. So we pull in. Yes, I'm a pacifist. Just leave me alone, okay? And we go in there, and we're looking at the guns, and we're looking at the knives, and we see the crossbows hanging up. And so my son Simeon grabs one, and Jeremiah grabs one. He puts his finger on the trigger, and he spins around. He's like, hey, guy! Like a guy walks down the aisle, and he's like, ah! He looks at me, he's like, oh, don't do that. And I'm just like, then I remembered my sermon, and I'm like, I've learned nothing. Like, you don't have to be perfect to adopt or do foster care. If you all know I screw things up, would you all just say, Pastor, you got issues? Right? But at least I'm in the game. At least I'm in the game. Won't you get in the game? You got issues too, but come on, man. Here's what you can do. You can write this down. Practical application. You can pray for them. You can find these kids at adoptkskids.org. If nothing else, go to the website and pray for them. Find a picture of a kid, print the picture out, and pray. One day you're gonna be praying for that kid, you're gonna go back to the website, and then poof, their picture's gone, and you're gonna be like, oh, did they get adopted? They're not on the website anymore. And you won't know the story, but you know God answered your prayer. These two guys are Javian and James. They're brothers. They like sports, football, and basketball especially. And they can't wait for recess at school because they want to get out and they want to move. They want to be athletes. James wants to be a car mechanic and they want to be adopted together. There's a family who would take these two boys. If you can't adopt them, at least pray for them. Open up their page on Adopt KS Kids. Print their picture out. Put it on the fridge. Just be praying. God, I pray you would get them adopted. God, give them a good home. God, give them a family that loves you and knows you. And then one day you're going to open up the website and just poof. It's going to be like 404, page error. And you're going to be like, yes! Thank you, God. I've seen kids who I was praying for. I've seen their pictures disappear. And I'm so curious. I want to know what happened. Maybe I'll see them in heaven someday. And I'm going to run up to them and be like, I know you. And they're going to be like, I don't know you. Be like, you were on my fridge for 3 years, man. Now, some of you should do more than pray. You should become a foster parent or even an adoptive parent. You can do the MAP class, which is what you have to take. It's just a class. Contact St. Francis. This is their website right here. They run the adoption stuff in Salina. Or Blessed Hope Family, an organization my wife helped start to provide support. And they can get you to the right place if you're interested in foster care or adoption. This guy here is King. King loves football. But if it's a rainy day and he stays inside, he's okay with that because he loves to play Candyland. He also loves SpongeBob. Now, don't you say nothing because I know some of you adults out there still like to watch your SpongeBob reels, okay? Maybe these for you. 58 kids waiting to be adopted. Is it 58? It's a number, right? But it's just not a number. It's more than a number. It's real people waiting for a home. And I'm praying next year that the number is not 58. I'm praying that it's lower. Last year, this number was 24 or 26. It's gone up, friends. We want to make that number go down because of someone in here. Right here. Who's going to carry one of those numbers on their back? You can't push it off. You can't say, well, someone else will do it, because God didn't ask someone else to do it. God asked you to do it. If you're interested in adoption or foster care, you could just go straight to the adoption agency, or you could do this. Come to Revolutions. I want some more info meeting about foster care. November, actually, it's not the 16th, it's the 23rd. We changed the date. November 23rd at 12:30 p.m. Is the right date up there? Yeah, great. Lunch is going to be provided. I should write on my red card. So here's what you write down. You're not going to fill in a blank here. You're going to write down adoption meeting on your red card if I'm even a little bit interested, because there's no commitment. Would y'all say no commitment? Come on, one more time. Say no commitment. All right, no commitment. This is just so I can learn a little bit more. Right, I'm not asking you to fill in a blank for this one, because I want you to write on your red card. We're going to have some representatives from St. Francis, and they'll talk about foster care and adoption and the process to do it. We'll have some representatives from Blessed Hope, which is a resource agency here that my wife started that helps foster parents and adoptive parents. We're going to have some foster and adoptive parents there. You get to ask them questions, whatever you want. It's just going to be like an hour, not big. And we're going to have lunch. So why not? Just get some free food, if nothing else. Just write adoption meeting on your red card right now. And if you're married, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down on your red card that adoption meeting. Then I want to show your spouse and say, we're doing this. And your spouse is going to go, no. And you're going to go, yes. And they're going to go, unbelievable. I'm not ready for this. And you're going to go, it's just information and free food. And they're going to go, fine. Okay? And then you'll show up at the meeting. Okay? That's how it's going to go. Okay, just do it, all right? Now, if you're single, here's how it's going to go. You're going to write it down. You get adoption meeting. And you're going to show it to someone in your row. And you're going to go, I'm doing this. Okay? I just want you to. And they're going to go, why? And you're going to go, you heard the sermon. And they're going to go, but you're single. And you're going to say, one parent is better than no parents. And then you're going to smack them, okay? All right? Because we all have to do something about this. Maybe you can't do foster care adoption, but maybe you can. Maybe you come and you hear a little bit, and you realize, okay, it's definitely not for me. That's fine. Then you get some free food and go home. No big deal. But maybe it is for you. Maybe you realize, I can actually do this. Child care. I don't know. We'll announce next week if there's child care or not. Someone sent in a comment. Being a foster adoptive parent is hands down the most rewarding, but also the hardest and most emotional thing I've ever done. Yeah. We meet strangers in our growth group, and I love the women and men I've met through the years. It's such a blessing. That's right. If fostering or adopting is right for someone, think of a career in child welfare. I've worked from St. Francis for 17 years. We always need more people to work and serve children and families, especially those who will love through the lens of Jesus. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of great social workers. There's a lot of not great social workers. And we need more social workers in the system who love Jesus and will be reasonable people who see things through the eyes of Christ instead of just the state law. So it's important. So write adoption meeting on your card. Just show up, get a little info. This girl's Cammie. She's 17 years old. Cammie loves to dance. She loves to sing. She enjoys Disney movies. Her favorite class in school is biology. She is polite and she's respectful, but she's 18. She's 17, sorry. So what's going to happen when she turns 18? Where's she going to go for Thanksgiving? Who's going to be with her at Christmas? Is she going to be all by herself? Or is God going to use someone here to set this lonely person in a family? Here's something else you can do. Number 4 on your outline. You can speak up for them. Tell others the importance or become a court-appointed advocate, nationalcasa.org. We're also going to have a rep from CASA at our adoption meeting on the 23rd. You can go to that website and you can sign up, you submit reports to court, all sorts of stuff like that. But who's going to speak up for the kids? Someone's got to speak up for them. And they get a lawyer, technically, if they're in foster care, but that lawyer is so overwhelmed and so they got like 1,000 million cases on their docket and they need someone from CASA to come in to get to know the kid and actually care. Someone has to carry the burden. So if you write adoption meeting on your red card, we'll have a representative from CASA there who will talk for just a few minutes about what it takes to do CASA. You can also give financially. So write this one down. You can give to the BIC Spice program. This is one option. You can provide for those who can do foster care. In other words, you see a foster family in here, you can help them sometimes. You can share in a child's adoption fund at Reese's Rainbow. Reese's Rainbow is this kind of interesting website. You go there, and it's primarily geared towards like Down syndrome kids, and they're up for adoption, but it costs a lot of money to adopt. And so you can say, this kid here, it's going to cost $12,000 to adopt him. I want to donate $100 so that if someone wants to adopt this kid and change their life, that it won't cost them as much. Isn't that cool? So you can go do that, or you can help people in foster care. The BIC Spice Program, our denomination, our church has hostels in India where we teach them, we house them, we feed these kids, and they grow up. And most of the kids who graduate from the school in these programs in India, in Hindu India, most of these kids who graduate from these schools end up becoming Christian church leaders in their community. It's an amazing thing. They're not all orphans, but it's a really powerful program. Here's another thing you could do. Find someone who does foster care or adopts and help them. You know, you could mow, you could babysit, organize meals, have a child shower instead of a baby shower. You know, ask the church office if you want to do something like this. We often know who is doing things like this. My gosh, when my kids were really little, we had, like 7 or 8 kids running around, and we didn't have teenagers who could watch the little kids. Kat, who is now our pastoral counselor here at church, she was just a college student. She had no money, but she gave us a Christmas gift one time, an envelope, and I opened it up, and inside was just a little handwritten coupon that said, free babysitting. I felt like someone had put a gold brick on my porch. I was like, this is amazing! But, some of you should go to the adoption meeting and write that on your red card, adoption meeting. It doesn't hurt just to learn a little info. Am I putting pressure on you to go to this adoption meeting? I am. I promise I won't put pressure on you to foster or adopt because that has to be your decision from your heart. But I'm going to put pressure on you to go to the meeting because I just want you to at least learn a little bit, right? Maybe you're saying to yourself you can't do it, but maybe you'd be surprised that you can. Or maybe you shouldn't, and that's okay too, but you won't know unless you actually look into it and make that decision. Here's something else you can do. Mentor and care for them by forming a relationship with a foster or adopted child. There were people in our lives who mentored some of our kids. Just decided, I'm just gonna love that kid. These three sisters want to be adopted together. They're Madison, Renaya, and Lanaya. Madison loves coloring and crafts. Renaya loves to dance and be silly. And Lanaya, she loves animals. Someone needs to adopt these three sisters together. These girls need you. Would it change your life? Yes, very inconvenient. Here's something else you can do. Support and care for birth parents who've had kids in foster care, who have been placed or are placing a child with an adoptive family. You know, one of the most difficult, painful things a parent will ever go through is if their child is put into foster care, or if they sign the papers for their child to be adopted. That is one of the most painful things someone can ever go through. And if you're in a growth group here, because there's a lot of people here whose kids have been in foster care or are in foster care or their kids have been adopted. Like, if you're in a growth group with one of those people, talk to them. I know so many of them. Not one of them has ever said, I don't want someone to talk to me about it. Every one of them I know has said, I wish people who care about me would ask about it more often. Because they think about it every day, you know? It's their life. So reach in, listen to them, ask them, how you doing? Have you thought about the kid? You know, learn about them. You don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. Be a doer. Imagine next year, there are a dozen more families in our church doing foster care. We've got 12, 20, 30 more kids running around our church starting fires. There's 100 more families supporting those families. And 10 of those 58 kids have been adopted right here in our church. Salina would be different because of you. Our church would be different because those kids would be different. Maybe you can't change everything, but you could change her life. Let's pray. God, we know that you've called us to this. And I pray you'll be working on people's hearts today. In the name of Jesus, that you would help us to follow your heart in this. Amen. Go be uncomfortable and inconvenient.